Welcome to Today on Broadway for St. Patrick's Day, Friday, March 17th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. Believe it or not, I am 1/6 Irish, so I will be celebrating in the traditional style of my ancestors with chicken McNuggets and a shamrock shake. So kiss the Blarney Stone or something. I will also begrudgingly be changing my Twitter avatar for the day, but more on that at the end of the show. James is on the rock, or at the rock, or in the rock. I don't know the right verbiage here, but he is seeing the new musical Come From Away on Broadway, so I am again steering this ship that is Today on Broadway all by myself. Man, that Come From Away cast has really had an incredible 2 days. The Prime Minister of Canada on Wednesday and the James Marino on Thursday. Wow, that's Hamilton-level star power there. Okay, on to the news. Last night, the Roundabout Theatre Company officially opened the fourth Broadway revival of Arthur Miller's The Price, this time starring Mark Ruffalo, Tony Shalhoub, Jessica Hecht, and Danny DeVito. The show is directed by Steppenwolf Theatre Company co-founder Terry Kenny, and it plays the American Airlines Theatre through May 7th. This production is much more in line with the traditional interpretations of Arthur Miller classics, unlike the recent revivals of Mike Nichols and Ivo van Hove that have taken more untraditional approaches to the texts. That perspective seems to have led to mixed to positive reviews from the critics. First off, Alexis Solaski, writing for the New York Times, said, quote, "Sympathetically directed and ardently acted, there's much to enjoy in this Roundabout Theatre Company revival, which opened Thursday night at the American Airlines Theatre. Yet, it shows The Price as a smaller, more stolid work than it wants to be, still just a little out of style." Of the show's stars, she wrote, quote, "Mr. Ruffalo's body looks slumped and stunted, his speech a mumble. Mr. Shalhoub, meanwhile, keeps straining upward. His arms and hands reach high, his voice rises until it cracks. These are both thoughtful, textured performances. And if you believe that old quip defining good acting is not bumping into the furniture, then hand them a couple of Tonys." Miss Hecht, she writes, affords Esther pragmatic sympathy. Solaski goes on to say that when compared to recent outside-the-box revivals of Miller's play, this one stands in stark contrast. She wrote, quote, "Mr. Kenny's quieter, more faithful style emphasizes the fine roles for actors, but doesn't make a strong case for the play itself." Robert Kahn of NBC New York seemed to echo those sentiments, writing, quote, "I can see why The Price isn't staged as frequently as the Miller classics. The second act spins into an exhausting cyclone of old slights and misunderstandings to justify the silence between the siblings. Director Terry Kinney does his best to keep things reeled in, but some of the interaction between the brothers borders on tedious. The Price is best described as dyspeptic. If you're looking for a hero or a villain, it's an irresolvable conundrum. You can find evidence that it's any of the four. That said, in the hands of a quartet as skilled as this, what we're left remembering finally is not Miller's art, but something of a masterclass in great performing." Time Out New York's Adam Feldman gave the show 3 out of 5 stars, saying, "Ruffalo and Jessica Hecht, as Victor's frustrated wife, do creditable work, but Shalhoub falters. Although he is persuasive at first, when Walter floats on silky smarm, his emotional scenes have a tinny ring. The play winds up in the pocket of Danny DeVito, making his Broadway debut as a charming old gonif of a furniture dealer. With so much character and history compressed into his small body, he is a good match for the play." We will have these and 6 other reviews in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com if you want to check them out, but it is safe to say that they were mostly mixed to moderately positive. If you listen to this podcast regularly, you know that on occasions when New York Post theater columnist Michael Riedel has an interesting article, we talk about it. Today, if I didn't know any better, I would think that things were the other way around. I kid, of course, but on yesterday's show, I speculated that the recently announced Berkshire Theater Group production of Children of a Lesser God, directed by Tony winner Kenny Leon, could end up making its way down the Taconic State Parkway to Broadway. And then, last night, Riedel's column was on just that topic. He says that when playwright Mark Medoff went to a reading of the production this past Monday, he was nervous that it would feel dated and that he would need to rewrite pieces to make it relate to a modern audience. However, the reading went so well that Medoff gave his permission for the show to transfer to Broadway. As we discussed yesterday, former Miss Deaf America Lauren Ridloff will play Sarah, even though she doesn't have much, if any, stage acting experience. Leon initially hired Ridloff to teach him sign language so that he would be able to communicate with his eventually hired deaf actors, but eventually realized that she was perfect for the part anyway. We will see in June if that is an opinion shared by critics and theatergoers, as Children of a Lesser God will play the Berkshires from June 22nd through July 22nd of this year. Yesterday, the Trump administration released its first official budget plan in which it proposes to cut funds traditionally earmarked for programs like Meals on Wheels, school lunch programs for underprivileged children, and the National Endowment for the Arts. While all of these cuts are offensive and ludicrous, especially when considering how minuscule the savings will be in the scope of the larger budget, this is a theater podcast, so I'm going to focus specifically on the impact of the NEA. As we have reported before, these cuts in funding would be disastrous to things like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which oversees NPR and PBS, as well as large theater companies in major metropolises. But the biggest damage will be done to arts organizations in rural areas that don't have as many alternate funding options. So, yesterday, along with the leaders of the NEA, PBS, and countless other guilds and unions, Actors Equity President Kate Schindel made her voice heard. She was already scheduled to speak at a National Press Club Newsmakers event, and she took the opportunity to speak on behalf of the NEA. She said in part, quote, "The elimination of the NEA seed money for theater is a job killer, not just for the actors and musicians on stage or the writers and creative teams who create the material. Live theater also provides jobs for people behind the scenes, like the stage managers and crew, and the people in the front of the house, like ushers, box office, and concession staff, as well as those who have administrative jobs. Live theater means work for those down the block, the wait staff in the restaurant, the bartenders, the taxi drivers, and the parking lot attendants, to name only a few." She continued that the cuts would impact arts orgs and citizens in every single congressional district in the country, so it is incumbent upon concerned citizens across the country to voice their concern to their elected representatives, who are the ones that ultimately have the power to approve or overrule the administration's proposal. She said, quote, "Having a really organic grassroots uprising from people who value the Arts Center in their own communities is probably going to be more effective than just having people fly in from New York and LA. Much of that may have to do with things like signing petitions, there are several circulating, and contacting your legislators and making it clear that the arts are not something that are frivolous. The arts are a job creator, an economic engine, and a valuable part of our community." So, we've all heard Madam President. It's now time for us to resist. On to some cool show and casting news. Yesterday, the Steppenwolf Theater Company announced that acclaimed director and actor and 2017 Steppenwolf Woman of the Arts honoree Felicia Rashad will direct the company's Chicago premiere of The Roommate, a comedy by Jen Silverman. In the play, Sharon is Midwestern nice, but to Robin, her new roommate from the Bronx, that just means nosy and very, very talkative. A comical mismatch leads to a surprising and touching friendship in The Roommate, a new comedy about how early life choices lead to midlife challenges and the unexpected rewards of bridging the divide. Featuring ensemble members Aura Jones and Sandra Marquez, the Steppenwolf production will run from June 21st through August 21st of 2018. Yesterday, we told you that S. Apatha Merkerson and Jane Kazmarek will star in the show's world premiere run at the Williamstown Theater Festival this summer. Finally, I'm going to close out this episode with two recommendations. Two great videos that popped up, and both kind of fit right in my wheelhouse, bridging the line between theater and pop culture. The first is a behind-the-scenes exclusive from Entertainment Tonight of the Flash Supergirl musical crossover episode entitled Duet, which airs on Tuesday, March 21st. It is really cool. They talk with the Flash Grant Gustin, who has a musical theater background and appeared in the national tour of the most recent Broadway revival of West Side Story, and Supergirl herself, Melissa Benoist, who came to fame as a cast member on Glee. These two are both incredibly charming, great singers, and great dancers, and we get to see a little bit of that in addition to some really cool candid interviews. The episode, which airs on the CW, features original songs, one from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Golden Globe winner Rachel Bloom, and another by newly minted Oscar winners, and probably not too long in the future Tony winners, Benj Pasek and Justin Paul. The special musical episode will feature Berlantiverse stars Gustin, Benoist, Jeremy Jordan, Jesse L. Martin, Victor Garber, John Barrowman, and Carlos Valdez, as well as special guest Darren Criss as the villainous Music Meister. I cannot tell you how excited I am for this episode. The other thing I want to recommend, if you listened to yesterday's episode, you know that I had mixed feelings about the new live adaptation of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. However, one thing that my feelings are not mixed for is James Corden's Beauty and the Beast crosswalk musical that featured Luke Evans, Dan Stevens, and Josh Gad performing Beauty and the Beast on a real live Los Angeles street during red lights, with fully staged choreography, costume changes, and everything. They've done a number of these before. They've done Grease and The Lion King. They might have done Phantom. I can't remember. But they are always hysterical. And obviously Josh Gad, who plays LeFou, Dan Stevens, who plays the Beast, and Luke Evans, who play Gaston, recreate their roles, which means that Tony winner James Corden is left to play Belle. It's awesome. So check that out. Anyway, that's all I've got for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Our newest episode was released yesterday. We talk about Get Out, Trial and Error, a bunch of national tours that Jen and I have seen recently. We make about 6 recommendations in 2 minutes. Then for show and tell, Jen complains about daylight saving time, and I recommend something that I've previously recommended on this episode. However, the downside of that episode of Something Like a Pop is that I had to concede yet another humiliating defeat at the hands of Jen when it came to awards show predictions. We've done 4 or 5 of these and I have not won yet. So today I pay back my Emmy defeat, where I will change my avatar to me wearing a hat for the much reviled and hated Notre Dame Fighting Irish to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I will be changing it back to my normal avatar tomorrow. Anyway, don't forget to listen to This Week on Broadway on Sunday, where James, Peter, and Michael, I'm sure, will have plenty to talk about with all these great shows opening. And then James and I will be back to talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.